edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get back to our program today, let me encourage you to visit with us this Sunday. Worship with us at 10:45 Sunday morning. Bible study Sunday school is at 9:30. We'd love to have you join with us in Bible study and in worship service. We're doing our overview of Jesus' last week on earth before his death, burial, and resurrection called Passion Week. We're looking at the journey that the Lord Jesus took. We're in the book of Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, reciting from chapter 11 through chapter 16, the triumphal entry of Jesus on Sunday and his resurrection the following Sunday, and all of the things that took place during the interim, during that week's period of time. Looking forward to it. We'd love to have you. We're talking about Countdown to Calvary, and we're looking at chapter by chapter what takes place in that Passion Week. If you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for a place where you can visit and learn the Word, studying the Word, if you're looking for a church where gospel music honors God and it's not the rock and roll beat with the smoke machines and the flashing lights going, if you're looking for a worship where God is honored, where the music is honoring God, and where the Word of God is expositorily preached, we'd love to have you. We're located at 12021, that's 12021, Old St. Augustine Road. We're 1 mile south of I-295. Love to have you, even this Sunday morning. 9:30 Bible study, 10:45 worship service. It'll be our privilege to have you worship with us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the Voter ID Act and Iran at what is called the tipping point. And the question is Islam compatible with Christianity? Now, I could take hours and hours and hours in discussing that factor about Islam and Christianity, but before we get to that segment, I want to read an article. It's talking about the Save America Act, or the SAVE Act, as it is called, which is the voter ID. What do you know about the bill requiring proof of citizenship to vote, this writer says. A bill was introduced to the House of Representatives, a Republican House, requiring voters to provide documentary proof of citizenship when they register to vote, has triggered alarm bells among voting and civil rights organizations. What does the SAVE Act do? This article reads, it would require Americans to seek to register or to re-register to vote to present a real ID, complement ID, that indicates the U.S. citizenship, a passport, or any other citizenship document. It goes on to say, those that have concerns about this bill, ladies and gentlemen, groups like the Brennan Center, the Nonpartisan Campaign Legal Center, and the left-leaning Center for American Progress, have all warned that the SAVE Act could add significant voting barriers. And they go on to say that it would prevent those of some ethnic differences to be able to vote. It would prevent those that do not have voter IDs from being able to vote, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it says, I would like to see the floor again in the coming days. This is likely going back on the floor to be able to vote on it. There's a pushed to have it removed, but it is time, I believe, for us to push it back up. However, the Senate has not voted the legislation, and it's unlikely that 7 Democrats would back the bill for it to overcome the filibuster in the chamber. Ladies and gentlemen, we are being blocked on every hand, it seems, with important Save America bills that I believe we need to recognize as needed today. There's a mindset somehow, some way, that we don't need a voter ID. Before we take our next caller, let me just give you a little overview of things that needs identification today. They're claiming the opposite, the left's claiming that it's unconstitutional, that it will prevent people from voting, that ID is an impossibility. To purchase some medications, you need an ID. To board an airplane, you need an ID. To enter most federal buildings, you need an ID. And ID is required to buy any alcoholic beverages. You need an ID to buy cigarettes. You must have an ID to open a bank account. You must have an ID that's required to apply for food stamps. You're required to have an ID if you apply for welfare benefits. You're required to have an ID if you buy a firearm of any kind. And dozens upon dozens upon dozens of other things that requires an ID. Yet the Marxist media, the socialist, communist, Marxist Democrats claim today that it will prevent voters if an ID is required. Not so. An ID will prevent the illegal invaders from voting in our American elections. That's what they're after. That's what they're afraid of. Because listen, I believe the 2020 election was stolen. I believe the 2024 election was stolen. I believe that the 2025 elections on the fast track for being stolen across the nation, unless we have voter ID. They tried to steal it in 2024, November of last year. President Donald J. Trump won because we happened to have an abundance of voters, and their theft of votes was not enough to offset the abundance of voters. So I'm thankful that we were able to overcome it, but it won't happen for many other times, and we need the voter ID. I believe James is on the line. James, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I agree 100%. Voter ID and common sense needs to re-enter the building and rule the day. The main reason for my phone call is I wanted to share with the listening audience, and you can now go on site because Duval County Public School dropped the video recording of the entire meeting. But the thing that blew my wife and I away after she's been going since 2001 or 2002, and I've been going since 2 or 3 to these school board meetings, almost every one. But the main thing that was different about this meeting is there was two seniors. I believe one of them was a senior, one of them might have been a junior, but I think two seniors. But the point is that they got awarded some honor certificates and academic achievements and so forth. But one of the things that they each did individually in two separate schools is they opened with prayer. And they stated that they'd like to begin their comments with prayer. And the one gentleman opened with 2 Chronicles, I think it's 7:11, if my people would seek my face and humble themselves. 7:14, yep, okay, right. Exactly. And but he opened with that, and his speech, his little acceptance and his speech and his appreciation was to his teachers. And then the next young man, I believe it was Mark, wasn't it where the woman that was bleeding just wanted to get in close proximity to Jesus and just be able to touch the corner of his robe.
Yes.
And And so he talked about that, and he said, what I've been able to do, and this was a kid that came from, you know, little means. He didn't have the world handed to him on a silver platter, but he had this fiery spirit of wanting knowledge and wanting to seek wisdom and truth. And he was blessed with some great teachers, and he let it be known that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior. And this was before the actual meeting started. And we were all in the outer room watching it on the screen as these different people were getting up and getting recognized for teachers and students and so forth. But those two specific ones in the beginning, if any of the viewing audience wants to go to Duval County's website, you can pull it up. And it's long and it's arduous to get through some of the stuff. But that beginning, we looked at each other and we said, we've won. We know we won. That the Lord has shown up. He's the Lord of air, land, and sea, and he has now mounted an assault, and he has gotten fire in the bellies of these young students and I just loved it. It was just amazing. Amazing meeting. Of course, it was a 6-1 victory. It's one stinking book out of, you know, probably 60-some more that we now have to challenge and go through this arduous procedure. But it was one book, and it's been removed from the school, from the guidance counselor's office, libraries, and so forth. And the rest is history, as they say. The one dissenting voter is, interestingly enough, the one that was all for mixed gender bathrooms and locker rooms, and interestingly enough, has two daughters. And I still am just scratching my head. But I guess, I don't know, liberalism at some point, you spoke the other day about, can I be a Democrat and be a Christ follower or Christian? And I don't think that you can. If you're truly a Democrat, you're either in one or the other. And as you've seen pastors ask the question and look at the pews and say, could you put your foot on this pew and put your foot on the ground? And let me see if you can walk steadily by having one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world. You've got to make a choice. And not for our good, but for your good.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't, the choice has been made. So.
Well, James, anyway. let me get you to reiterate something for a little clarity for our listeners.
There was
a vote. The vote was on, as some call it, banning books. It's not banning books. It's removing pornographic material from the library shelves for our students in the schools. And so it was a 6-1 vote. There's seven on the board, school board, and it was a 6 voting to yes, remove it, and one that was not, one that was against it. That one that's against it, we don't have to question, is what I'd call a loose likes lost liberal, as you said, that also believes that it's good to have, or okay to have, boys and girls bathrooms, locker rooms, shower rooms, and girls sports. We won in the sense that the majority of the school board voted the right way on this issue. And so I am certainly thankful for that, and it's a good report to hear that and to know that. But, Jim, let me buttonhole you for just a minute before we let you go. We're talking about several things that I believe have a nexus. We're talking about the Voter ID Act. It's called Save America Act, or the SAVE Act. We're talking about saving America. We're talking about Iran at the tipping point, and Islam compatible with Christianity? And I think all three of those have a nexus, because the thing that we see taking place that we need to have the Voter ID Act is to prevent those that are the illegal 15, 20, 30 million, whatever it is, illegal invaders that have come in. I know right now, and I'll finish the statement, then ask the question. Right now in Wisconsin, a uber-liberal female won the seat on the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. And on a fast track now, already being fast tracked to the Supreme Court. By the way, out of the 7 Supreme Court justices on the system, in the system in Wisconsin, 6 are women, 1's a man. But you have the overwhelming majority of those being uber liberals. And right now there's a fast track move to redistrict Wisconsin. And if that is approved by the Supreme Court, that will give the state of Wisconsin 2 more legislative seats. And that's what they're after. That's the reason the election with the female that was just elected, just approved in the vote. Hundreds of thousands, millions put into her campaign by George Soros and other dark money. And she won by not a landslide, but a major victory for her. And what it does, it says to the nation that by what they're fixing to do, what they have planned on doing, what they have done, is simply open Pandora's box so that everybody can vote. Prior to this election, I'll touch on this, prior to the election in Wisconsin, the people that are investigating the elections, DOGE being part of it, had already discovered that there's over just in one district, over 5,000 illegal jihadists that are on the voting rolls in that particular county in Wisconsin. So the question is, can we see the truth ever prevail in America? What do you believe will happen with the voter ID law? Will it pass? Will it fail? Is it needed? Is it necessary? If we don't have it, what's going to happen?
I believe and pray that it does pass, because it's common sense. It's ridiculous that we should be giving away in big, big chunks our freedom and our liberty and the things that we hold so near and dear. So there has to be accountability and ownership of our country. As somebody once said, if you don't have borders and a language, you don't have a country. So that's ridiculous. And I would propose this to our listeners to think about, and I know your listening audience is on the same team, sort of, so to speak, but if we look at Muslim and Islam, and can we coexist and so forth, here's my question. The Bible is one book. It has a New and an Old Testament. And nowhere in the Bible, New Testament, does it say that if someone is not going to go along with Jesus and accept him as their Lord and Savior, that we should enslave him or kill him. The Quran, on the other hand, and Islam, my understanding is there's a Quran, but then there's a Hadith. So it's God's, according to them, their Allah or Muhammad's law, and then man's interpretation of that law, or the Hadith. What I've just gone back and forth, and I'm a baby at it, but talking to Muslims that I know, they say, well, it's taken out of context. We really don't want to kill people that don't believe in Muhammad or Allah or whatever it is. We don't really want to do that. So I can't speak to that, but I would just tell them, and I've been to Egypt, and I've been to places overseas, if I'm trying to do a drag queen story hour, or I'm a lesbian, or a gay individual, or transgender, and I go over there and even try to open my mouth or do anything to try to encourage any of what I might hold near and dear, which you and I think is completely ungodly behavior, I'd be lucky to be alive, okay? Mm-hmm. So the fact that they're using our freedoms and our laws against us and trying to create all these isms and all these accusations of you're a xenophobe or a homophobe or what is the thing, transgender dysphobia or gender dysphoria, that's it. You know, all these wonderful buzzwords to try to make you scratch your head and go, oh my goodness, all I'm trying to do is pursue what God wants me to do and be the best version of what he can allow me to do and be for his glory kind of thing. And so it's very difficult, but if you boil it down to the brass tacks and the differences are drastic, and look at a Muslim community, show me a successful one. Show me one where every facet of that community is given an even shake. I mean, up until recently, women were chattel. That's what I've read in some of these countries. They have to have head coverings. They can't speak out of turn. Now, again, I don't know. Maybe, you know, enlighten me on that. But
absolutely. Let me touch on something to not clarify, but to be a footnote in embossment or embezzlement, if you are not the right term, to further what you're saying, James. The bottom line is, Islam is not compatible to Christianity, number one. Number two, as you said, with Christianity, we do not force people to convert. In Islam, it's either convert or die. In Islam, and by the way, you talked about the Quran, they have the Quran that's published in America and produced and sold in the, some of the bookstores, is the Western version, which is a watered-down lie. The only Quran that the Islamic scholars recognize, adhere to, and follow is what's called the Noble, N-O-B-L-E, the Noble Quran. It is the only Quran that is published with the Medina seals in the front of it, the blue seals authorizing it, showing it is what they call the authorized version of the Quran. Otherwise, there are hundreds and hundreds of different Qurans, and so an Islamic can say, well, we don't want to kill a non-believer, et cetera, et cetera. That's taken out of context. Well, first of all, there is no such thing as context in the Quran. I've got the Noble Quran. I've studied the Noble Quran. I've researched and I've published two or three books about the Quran and what is said and what is not. You have the Hadith, which is a nine-volume, not just a single, it's a nine-volume publication, and it's the musings and sayings of Muhammad. It is called the Hadith. And when you study the Hadith, when you look at the Quran, and when you understand, for example, Surah 2, verse, we call it chapters, they call it surahs, in Surah 2, 191, and kill all non-believers wherever you find them. Kill them, such is the recompense of the disbelievers, that's non-Muslims. Surah 2, 193, fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah. Surah 2, 216, jihad, that is holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for every Muslim. The Surah 4, 56, those who disbelieve, we shall burn with fire. Surah 4101, the non-Muslims, the disbelievers, non-Muslims, are even unto you an open enemy. Surah 4102, Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for all non-Muslims, disbelievers, and I could go on and on and on. One in Surah 855, the worst moving living creature before Allah are those who are non-Muslims. So what they have and what happens, James, is the fact that with Islam, in the Quran, it authorizes Muslims to lie, to deceive, in order to win your approval with what they're saying and doing. And right now, the reason that is so being emphasized from my perspective is because having studied it and having written it, in fact, I've got a volume in my hand that's about 300 and some odd pages, and it is... it's totally, 325 pages, about 25 chapters, and it's total research from the Quran, the Noble Quran, and the Hadith. It is simply horrifying when you understand what the goal is of Islam, and yet we have those in America today that believe that they're compatible. James, not for your edification, but for yours as well as the listeners today. Christianity, for example, Jesus Christ is God incarnate. Islam says that Jesus is not deity. He is not God. In Christianity, we believe in the Trinity. Islam rejects the Trinity totally. Christianity says Christians believe in God. And in Islam, Islam believes in a false God called Allah. Allah was the moon god of that decade, that century. Christians believe the Bible. And Islam serves an angry God. But in Christianity, God is a benevolent, loving God. Jesus died on the cross in the, for Christians, but the Quran says that a lookalike died on the cross to deceive people into believing that Jesus rose from the dead. Christianity invites you to believe in Jesus. Islam forces you to accept Islam or die. So that's just a thumbnail sketch. That's a summarization of 25 chapters. But here's the point, James, and we'll let you go. Christians, current conservatives, and patriots need to understand that we are on the cusp of going beyond the point of return in America, in my most humble opinion. If we do not pass the Save Act, which is the Save America Act, the Voter ID Act, if we do not pass that, Pandora's box will be flung wide open, and it'll be on the fast track then to Islamicize America and to take away our freedoms, our religious liberties, and our Bill of Rights in complete. Every state right now in America that has almost a dominance of Islam, you take Michigan, you take Wisconsin, you take other states like that, upstate in New York, for example, you're finding major influx of these that are Islamic jihadists that are increasingly forcing their way. Just look at Columbia University. Look at Harvard University. Look at the other prestigious universities. It's being dominated by the Islamic jihadists. And yet, up until Pam Bondi's going into office as DOJ, nothing was being done. So the point that I make and wrap up, James, thank you for your call. Thank you for your good announcement about what happened with the school board and the vote. I'm thankful that God has placed on the hearts of those six to vote in the right direction. And may your battle continue to be successful in what you're doing. James, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today. Keep looking up, ladies and gentlemen. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Muslim woman kills Christian couple by poisoning the food after taking her daughter to church. Listen, this didn't happen in America. It was in Nairobi, Kenya. And yet this is giving you a good example of some of the surahs that I just read from the Noble Quran. This woman, which is an Islamic jihadist woman, her neighbors were Christians. They took her daughter, the Muslim woman's daughter, to church. And because they took her to church, she was angry. And she prepared some food for her neighbors to kill them, poison them, because of taking her daughter to church. Inadvertently, her 18-year-old daughter did not know that her mother had prepared the food for the neighbor that had poison in it. The 18-year-old daughter ate the food and died. You hear what I said? This article says she had it's because she had been sharing her Christian faith with the 18-year-old girl who had finished high school exams and was awaiting results to determine if she would be accepted into college. She was angry that the couple had invited her daughter to church for the services on March the 17th and was ready to poison them when inadvertently she poisoned her own daughter. That's the mindset. That's the attitude in Islam. And this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, we must be very, very careful, and we must be thankful that God has been using President Donald J. Trump and Elon Musk in removing thousands of these. I'm looking at the headline, Trump to revoke temporary legal status of 530,000 Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans. U.S. President Trump, as his administration, will revoke the temporary legal status of 530,000 in the United States, according to the Federal Register notice. And by the way, as Elon Musk and Doge, D-O-G-E, the Department of Government Excellence, as they continue delving into what is taking place, they're finding more and more of the illegal elections, illegal voting, those that should not be voting. I think probably the most spectacular one is where several hundred thousand of those that are 120 years old to 150 years old had been receiving Social Security checks. And yet, when you look at the total of what is happening with Doge, what President Trump is accomplishing, you have the left, the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party on the left, that is screaming that it is unconstitutional, that what he's doing is wrong. I'm looking at another headline. The question is Islam compatible with Christianity? As with all world religions, there are tremendous differences between biblical Christianity and Islam. A close examination of the two faiths will find their beliefs are totally incompatible. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the track that we're on, and we need to recognize the danger that's before us. And we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that if President Trump is allowed to do what God has placed him there for, we might be successful in extricating America from the jaws of defeat and destruction in the near future. It is President Trump that I believe God has divinely intervened and placed in office to give America another four-year reprieve in the hope and the prayer that America will turn back to God. We need to put the Bible back in the classroom. We need to put prayer back in the classroom. We need to have the Ten Commandments back in the classroom. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to have the freedom of religion in our nation, as our Bill of Rights says that we have. It needs to be recognized, and we need to fight for it, strive for it, and live that God would be able to be an impact on the hearts and the lives of multitudes that's in the world today, that we need to have the salt, be the salt and light to do what he's called us to do. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Before Jesus died on the cross, Simon carried his cross.
True Commentary with Stu Epperson, author of the book, Last Words of Jesus.
He was the only human being other than Jesus to carry.